I want to reflect for a while this morning on the letter to the Romans. But do you see, what is the response when God says something? When the Lord calls, drop everything and go. Whether it be, you know, quit your education and go be a missionary. Or whether it be just make sure that there's peace in your house. Drop everything and go. Obey right away. Now, I was pondering this Romans text, which is so beautiful, and I thought, let's just look at it slowly for whatever time we got. You'll be home for lunch, I promise. Brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It takes two dimensions, right? Faith is interior and it's exterior. If you believe and never say a word, that's doubtful that you believe. Let's take an example. Somebody runs into this room and says, fire, fire. We'd all go try to put the fire out, right? He wouldn't say, well, there's a fire and I hope everything works out all right. See, faith always moves toward protestation, action. And that involves, therefore, the whole being, interior and exterior. Otherwise, it's not a total human act. If, on the other hand, you keep talking about the Lord, but you never obey him, that's wrong the other way. So look at this text now for a little while. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Yahweh, Kyrios, or, you know, is the way that the Greeks translate Yahweh in the Old Testament. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you just don't mean he's got authority or he's a big shot. You mean he is Yahweh. Do you believe that? You see? And this is what gave him the name that is above all names, right? Jesus. Have this mind which was in you, which is in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Although he was by nature God, in the form of God, did not consider being equal to God something to be clung to. But he humbled himself, becoming obedient. Obedient to whom? He's God. You see, to his Father. Obedient unto death, death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. So here, you see, confess with your mouth. You see, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. The next line of that Philippians that I didn't cite. And what's the confession? Jesus is Yahweh. That's the confession. We say Lord and we think, oh Lord, he can command people. That's true. No, what Kyrios means Lord. In fact, it's an allusion to a text in Isaiah 45:24, you know, which talks about confessing lordship. So then he enters into sort of an anthropology of faith. I figured we got a little time this morning. It's Saturday. And as I was looking these texts over, I thought, let's just really get into a text. You see? If you believe in your heart, you see, first you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Now your heart, you see, is that place in you where you are directly related to God. There's nothing between your heart and God. Nothing. It's the deepest thing in you. So you can confess and have kind of a, or you can really know the Lord and believe in him. You You see, and that's why if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And salvation means present to God forever in your body and your soul. You see, for one believes with the heart and so is justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to have the right relationship to God. And that's, how do you have the right relationship to God? You believe him. There's a text, I say, you know, to me every knee shall bow, by me every tongue shall confess. That's Yahweh in Isaiah 45, saying who he is. And now this is all, being applied to Jesus. So one believes with the heart and so is justified. It's a very deep interior thing. While you're driving along in the car, turn off the radio and just say, do I really believe? Or better still, just practice. Lord, I believe that you are God, you are the Creator, you are triune. You have come among us. Jesus Christ is your beloved Son, equal to you. I believe he died on a cross over there in Jerusalem and has saved the whole world and me from eternal death. I believe all this, Lord. And practice. Okay? So one believes with the heart and has the right relationship to God, is justified. One confesses with the mouth and so is saved, because salvation means the whole body person transformed by the divinity with God forever. So the bod has to get into it, you see. Somebody who says, you know, I'm a Christian and I don't live like one, they're not. It takes body, because we are a body, you see. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. One confesses with the mouth and so is saved. So again, when you're right, just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Lord. Who's going to hear you except Jesus? And then we have these texts. Paul is, of course, his whole life was studying Scripture. So when he needs these texts, they're there. For Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. That's from Isaiah. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. After a millennium and more of there being a distinction, absolute distinction between Jew and Greek, now he's saying, no more. Why? The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him, who really call upon him. When you get your prayer time, stop for a minute and say, am I calling on the Lord or am I just sitting here? And so, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's worth it then, isn't it? And now he moves on. He's talked about you, me. Now he's going to talk about the world. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? And now we're down to it, right? You could conclude, because you are here in this chapel this morning, hearing these words and preparing to receive the body and blood of Christ, that you're sent. Now, you may not have an apostolic commission like a priest or a bishop, but you're sent. Think of all the, I'm just thinking of all the women foundresses, you know, who created all these orders to take care of the sick and to, You see, they're sent. They're sent. You see? And now he's, how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings the good news. Now that's a beautiful line, isn't it? And you know it's from Isaiah. A blessing on the feet that bring the good news. A blessing on those feet. In Arabic, even a little, I can remember, they say this a lot, but I can remember one time I helped an old woman across the street, a Palestinian. She got to the other side, we got to the other side, and she looks and she just said, it's Lemedek, may God bless your hands. From that tiny act, you see, but may God bless your hand. May God bless your mouth. May God bless your heart. You're telling me the truth. You see? But not everyone has heeded the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what was heard from us? This is why, you see, there's got to be, what would be the right word? Unceasing propaganda. Not only that, but doing whatever we can. For instance, tomorrow's Sunday, right? How many people are going to spend the day playing golf, shopping? These are not sins, but what about God? Remember to keep holy the Shabbat. And do we set an example? Suppose somebody says, hey, what do you say? Let's do today. Do you say, no, I can't. It's Sunday. Whew. Wouldn't that be a witness? Of course it would. Thus, faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the word of the preacher. No. Faith comes through the word of Christ. If I'm preaching my ideas, my, you know, it's not the word of Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Certainly they did. And now he applies a line from the psalm. Their voice has gone to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. That's applying, you know, that's the Chelionaran, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. But more important than the heavens proclaiming, it's the Christians proclaiming. And so there's a psychology of faith here, if you will. Somebody has got to really believe it and speak it. And others will be changed. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, like, if there's a, like when Padre Pio preached, lots of people were changed. Why? Because the realities he spoke about were living and active in his own being. He wasn't saying, you know, everyone should confess Jesus as Lord because the church says so. No, because I know it. That makes a difference. Now, there is such a power in that statement that sometimes it brings its own authority with it. You see? But there's such a mystery here, you see? How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard? And how can they hear it without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they're sent? Can you catch the, what would be the word, the urgency in this? There's a rhythm here. And the rhythm is human speech. Without human speech, you see, transmitting this divine reality. Well, there's an old saying, you know, nobody can give what they don't have. So the first obligation, if we want to evangelize, is to believe. But I mean, really believe. So that our life, day by day, is consciously dominated, directed by the reality and the majesty and the presence of Christ in us. And people know the difference, right? When you were in school, especially university, and somebody starts talking, and you just know they don't really know what they're talking about. They're delivering, you know, these are the laws of physics or whatever, but some other person comes in and they're full of their topic, and you know the difference. Now let the topic be Jesus Christ. We know the difference. And the hippies used to say, you know, man, I can't hear what you're saying because who you are is talking too loud. It was a little bit sarcastic, but it's quite wise. And so there's a rhythm here. Huh? Really believe, really pray, really know Jesus. Beg him for that. And then have mercy. Preach. Preaching is a part of almsgiving. Tell people. And you want to tell them so that they change, not that you close a sale. I did it. I preached. It's all set. No, it's not. And that's why a simple person who in whom the Lord Christ really lives is a much more effective evangelist than a guy with 9 degrees who wasn't quite sure and not that obedient either to God. I read this morning, getting ready for this. I didn't expect to be this long, but I thought, let's stop and really think of what he's saying here, you see. And it's this mystery of people who really know Jesus and really love Jesus, speaking about him. That's what he's talking about.